Thanks for joining us. My name is Ibrahim Sani. We're talking about the evolution of electric vehicles in Malaysia, the rise of the industry within this country and, of course, within our region. Of course, what it means to folks like you and me in terms of the EV evolution that is arriving in Malaysia, dead on. Joining me in the studio is Dato' Dennis Chua, the president of the EV Association of Malaysia. Dennis, thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us. I want to understand a little bit better in terms of the role of the Association of the EV Association of Malaysia, and how does this differ from all the other associations in the country?
Thank you for inviting me. Electric Vehicle Association, I'm currently the president. So far, before it established in year 2017, I have been involved into the association of different countries, especially the ASEAN ASEAN region. We share a lot on policy, policy of like how you're able to bring in the vehicle and how you engage with the governments to be able to provide incentive and a good policy to grow the electric vehicle, especially the four-wheelers. And of course, me, myself, I founded my own company, manufacture electric two-wheelers, the company Aclimo. It's very, very early in 2012, we already obtained JPJ approval. So you can actually drive the bike on the road and you can register with road tax, with license. So during that time already involved in electric vehicle, that's why I take the role of engaging with the ASEAN countries to share our knowledge and bring in or share the policy among others countries.
There are some chicken and egg argument when it comes to EV arguments here. I want to explore one by one. Over the weekend, I had a lot of, Twitter battles with some of my followers. When it comes to mobility in Malaysia, some detractors are saying that EV doesn't necessarily address two issues, which is energy consumption at manufacturing and at charging. Number two is, of course, when you move people using public transport, either bus or trains or any other public transport, mass public transport, you're going to be able to reduce not just consumption of carbon, you're going to be able to actually make things faster in terms of mobility. How do you address these whole two notions of energy creation at the coal plants, for manufacturing and for charging, and mobility using public transport against the rise of EV right now? Where do you think, how do you think we should approach this topic?
First, for me, why the association are very much engaging with the industry, especially the manufacturers. We need more manufacturers to come on board to be able to design from the chassis, from the electronics, the batteries, the motor, and also the body. Just by comparison, combustion and electric, this have reduced a lot. For electric, to manufacture a vehicle, you can even reduce 75% of parts to use to build the vehicle. And on top of that, the maintenance is very, very low. You don't have to maintain the engine. There's no engine, right? So every time your combustion vehicle, when you send for service, it's all about the engine. So today, electric vehicle, the engine already been taken out. You only use the motor and the battery. So what are things to maintain? You actually reduce a lot of maintenance. So this is one thing that we are very sure that in terms of electric vehicle, we're actually reducing components to build the vehicle. When it comes to the energy, we always say that when you put in 1 liter of petrol to turn into the energy to drive the vehicle, you only get about 25 to 30% of energy. The rest of it is a wastage, it's the emissions. So, but when you come to electric, you put in 1 kilowatt, you're actually getting about 90% of generation of power to drive the vehicle. So, what does that mean? Meaning that even though your power plant, electricity is actually generated from coal, you are still very, very efficient because the energy that you put into the battery, you can able to drive almost 90% of the power to drive the motor to move the vehicle. So this is the industry that we believe that we should be able to keep bringing more players to the countries.
Yeah. And what about the second half of my question, which is on mobility? It's better to think about investing in public transportation and making it more efficient in terms of trying to bring people about, as opposed to supporting the EV industry.
When you talk about public transport vehicle, electric vehicle suits well. Why? Because when you have a long range, if you're using a very long mileage per day, you actually see a lot of savings. Meaning that if you only drive, let's say 30 or 60 kilometers a day, probably you don't see savings using electric vehicle. But if you have a 200, 300 or 400 kilometer, that's where you see a lot of savings by using electric vehicle, especially for electric bus, commercial vehicle, bus, we should focus more to convert into electric because it saves a lot. And in terms of just two-wheelers, if you ride electric, just for 100 kilometer, you're actually saving 7 kilo of CO2.
Yeah, the idea here is to reduce on personal cars, either EV or ICE. The idea here is to get people about more efficiently, and if it means investing more in public transport, shouldn't that be the way?
Yes, of course. We actually encourage public transport to use electric, especially on the bus. Of course, when you look into the bus are actually taking passenger. You also need aircons, battery to power the aircons. So when you come to bus, utilizing the batteries for driving, for the motor, and also using it for the aircon, probably you'll see that the saving is not much. But when you come to the whole total bus converting from the engine to electric, it simplify a lot on your maintenance.
What are the bus manufacturers on EV? Are they a lot?
So far, because of the entry to manufacture a bus, the entry is high because of the battery, probably will cost you 300,000 ringgit. Right now, you only see that mostly are manufactured in China. You do have European company and do manufacture bus, but widely is produced and manufactured by a Chinese company from China where they distribute worldwide.
Why isn't there an economies of scale when it comes to producing EV buses the way we see, say, Tesla, for instance? Billions of dollars into R&D, billions of dollars into sales and marketing, and the adoption is quite high. In fact, the fastest model selling vehicle in 2022, is Model Y. So you can see the aggressiveness of Tesla in trying to get one model out to become the best-selling model car, either EV or ICE, on the planet. Why is there no, I guess, company in terms of getting buses on the road?
You see, today, if you look at the bus industry, only government are investing on bus, and you are actually... if you purchase electric bus and combustion bus, the initial cost is high. Most likely, you're going to be double. So there's only today government are investing on bus, because operating of bus that and also collecting, there's very hard to get profits of running
a bus. So you see the chicken and egg argument here, right? Okay, so you as the president of EV Association of Malaysia, you want everybody to own an EV. That's fine. I want an EV too. But I'm not the government, you're not the government, but the government is asking how do we reduce carbon emission if it means more MRT, LRT, rail, or buses. Shouldn't that be the way? But right now, for Malaysia at least, or ASEAN countries, it's not easy trying to move people when, say, for instance, Bangkok has 10 million people, Jakarta has 20 million people. You know, talking about a lot of people here. And not many of them can own an EV, you know. So how can we try to solve mobility as the topic of the day? Not so much EV. How do we solve mobility if it's going to be expensive for governments to buy EV buses? You know, I mean, you're right. I'm not going to dispute that. It's going to cost double, if not more. And you're going to see just more carbon-emitting buses on the road.
Well, this is a fact that you are depending on government to purchase the bus. But if you look at for Philippines, even Philippines, they have a local manufacturers. The local governments are actually purchasing a smaller bus, and their policy is have to be electric. So when their policy is have to be electric in Philippines, they call it like e-trike, they call it e-jeepney. They don't start with like a 7 meter or 12 meter bus. they actually started from a smaller vehicle.
So the smaller Jeepneys vehicle. Are going to be EV now?
Yes.
Or has been?
They already have it. They already been 10 years at running e-Jeepneys or e-trikes.
Mm.
And where does this come from? Because of the policy, they already have easily 15 to 20 manufacturers of the e-Jeepneys or the e-trikes. And this is driven by the government policy where it must be electric to mobilities for passenger.
So speaking about policy, right, what are the policies that you think Malaysian government is lacking right now when it comes to adopting cleaner energy, not just EV?
For instance, currently I would say that within these 2 years, our governments have put in a lot of efforts. For the past, I don't see much, but right now we see a lot of efforts have been putting into driving up the electric vehicle. First thing, the policy, excise duty exemption. Because there's not much of local manufacturers, you have importations of material which is exempted from importation duties. And if the vehicles are ready, you also get exemptions of duty, meaning that you manufacturers or the vehicle do not need to pay duties for until this 2025.
Mm.
And this is one. Second is manufacturers, parts. Our governments are looking into inviting companies to do joint venture or to do R&D locally. We can able to produce affordable parts. We can produce parts here. We have a lot of manufacturers here. The manufacturers are not gearing up. It's also chicken and egg because there is no volume here. So, but there is a market for electric vehicle. We can able to do more than that. We have a lot of manufacturing here. We have electronics manufacturers. We have electronics. We have mechanical. We have chassis. We can able to build a vehicle. It's just that today, the market is growing, but not growing fast enough for the companies to enter into this industry because they haven't seen that whether they invest into this business, whether there is a profitability at the end of first year, second year, or third year.
You're in this space, you know these manufacturers, the car manufacturers, I mean. Are they looking forward to try to enter the market and try to build an EV car of Malaysia? In fact, wasn't that the idea, the third national car?
Definitely, I would say that every car manufacturers have planned to go EV. Why? Because the demand is there. You can see the demand is there.
Yeah.
Whether they want to start right now, it's still a question mark because whether their volume is enough for them to start now. Of course, one of the very sensitive issues here is why the demand is not increasing that much because our petrol is subsidized. So just look at neighboring country. Their EV adoption is very, very high. Every month you see that the people buying vehicles is increasing.
People buying EVs is increasing.
People buying EVs is increasing. Why? Because the petrol is high.
So, Malaysian government, this is not the first time you're mentioning this, but the phrasing that I like, some of my guests use, is that Malaysia as a government is subsidizing carbon. And this is oxymoronic because at the same time, Malaysian government is also promoting EV. We saw the Prime Minister taking a phone call with Tesla. We're seeing some of the manufacturers like Mercedes, BMW, Volvo aggressively trying to push forward their EV vehicles, their full EV, not their hybrids. So how do you think we're going to resolve this conundrum where Malaysia is subsidizing carbon, but at the same time want EV? Something has to give, right?
That's true. Of course, for people, definitely petrol is cheap enough that they still require the petrol for their own use, right? So in order to increase the EV, Most likely that, like today, it actually start from the T20, from a higher range a vehicle, the higher range pricing vehicle, people are already converting it. If you look at 5 years ago and today, our vehicle have reached almost like maybe 5,000 units. So within these 2 years, actually, we have increased a lot. I can see that more and more people are converting. Why? Also not because of companies are required to comply to ESG. Not because of just because of ESG, a clean environment. They are converting because they supplying to overseas. Their customers are required, the companies, to have ESG compliance. So these are the compliance that would drive EV.
Another chicken and egg argument is, of course, the infrastructure, setting charging standards, for instance, manufacturing batteries, developing charging systems across major metropolitan areas, having good EV charging mechanism intrastate on along the highways. Tesla has made some announcements. We've heard local governments making other announcements. Where do you see this adoption coming in terms of building this infrastructure? Must the infrastructure come first, then the EVs?
Today we are very much putting up efforts to build the infrastructure. First thing also, I need to address this, that there is a plan, government plan, that by 2025, we want to achieve 10,000 EV charging stations. Until today, we are still importing the charging equipments. There is no local manufacturers. There are companies talk about it, and I also hope that there will be a local manufacturers for the EV charging stations. Mm. And our aim is to be able to achieve by 2025, 10,000 charging stations. So, when this grow, when you ask people, do you consider to change to EV? Mm. The first coming out from their comment is there is lack of charging stations.
Yeah.
Right. So, and the moment that there is a charging station, like currently, if you look at the charging station, the utilization is lesser than expected.
Yeah.
So, they need more EV vehicle. They coming to Malaysia to be able to have people to purchase the vehicle, then the utilization will be higher. But definitely today, the direction is to build charging station to achieve 10,000 charging station by 2025.
You're right. Charging stations are always empty. I can't imagine, except for the Astro campus at least. But do you think that has, these kind of conversations have to end in terms of which one comes first, the infra or the car? Or the kind of conversation of, oh, let's have buses and rail instead of EVs. Where do you see this conversation is going to lead? Because, like I said, the it's getting tiring for me to clarify the views of the EV industry to, you know, folks out there, especially on my Twitter followers right now. When it seems like, I don't know why they are against the EV growth. I don't think they are supporters of the ICE industry. Do you think that comprehension of the market is actually quite critical right now?
Today, when I talk to people who own EV and people interested to own EV, when those that already own EV, they are actually charging at home. And right now, EV can carry you from 400 to 500 kilometers per charge. Mm. Those that already own EV, they just charge at home. When they travel long distance, they only look out where to charge.
Mm.
So, in the other hand, before you purchase an EV, you will think that, where can I charge it later on? Where can I find a charger?
Mm.
But the moment that when you own an EV, especially like me, I don't go public area to charge EV.
Mm.
So the understanding is, when you own an EV, you don't really look for public chargers. So, for instance, right now, condominiums, house, it's so easy for you to install an EV charging. Even though it takes you 7 hours or even 8 hours to full charge your vehicle, but you don't wait until you go down to 10% or 20%. The moment that you think that, oh, it's already 50%, you just plug and leave it there, because you can actually charge it at night and you don't drive your vehicle for 5 to 6 hours, right?
Another area of exploration that I want to go through with you is on the National Automotive Policy. When it was announced in 2020, there was not much concessions made for the EV industry. And of course, very recently, as late as April this year, the MITI Minister, Tengku Datuk Sri Zafrul Aziz, said that the government is looking at many of the developments of EV and try to see how they can perhaps introduce some form of concessions for EV. What would be some of the ideas that you think is going to be thought of when it comes to reviving, updating the National Automotive Policy?
I think this is the opportunity for a local industry right now. You see, governments have allowed so-called CBU unit to be able to sell in Malaysia.
Yeah.
There are a few models that are already announced, right? So
like Model Y and all.
Model Y, they have other brands from China.
Yeah, right? The BYDs, the EX90, the EQS, you name it.
So you name it, there's
all
a
fancy
lot.
Cars, all 200 minimum. Yeah. You know,
you also have lately BYD also announced
99,000.
Start from 99,000.
Yeah. But I think they can't sell below 100,000, so it's like 105 something like that.
Right. So the policy is very, very friendly. Why I say that? They actually allowed CBU unit, and there is no tax, there is no excise duty, there is no importation duty.
Yeah.
So there must be a...
That was last week actually,
Oh yes, there must be a guideline. How many units later this company have to locally assemble it or locally manufacture it?
Right now there's no guideline?
There's a guideline to all the manufacturers that they allow you to sell CBU in a country. Mm. There must be a commitment when you're going to locally assemble it and how many percent of local content must be there.
Yeah, and then the companies are going to say, of course, I'm going to comply. And then when the time comes, they don't comply.
Of course, this is the work of the ministry to actually negotiate with the companies.
Yeah.
I'm sure companies, when the sales are good, the cars are here, they also need to support the buyers. And in order for them to be able to stay, local manufacturers, if they can provide a better price, why not?
Mm.
Right? And you have a local companies that are willing to support the materials, I'm sure they're going to look at it. So it all depends on, not because of you need to comply with the policy, you have to buy a higher price. We local can be very, very competitive in parts. We can support, our industry, it started from there. We have a lot of semiconductor here. We have 20, 30 years of manufacturing that are export orientated.
Mm.
So we have the industry that able to compete globally.
Mm.
So if we this is the opportunity here that there are more and more cars are coming into the country, there are more opportunity for us to look into manufacturing of the parts for supporting the electric vehicle, and also supporting the vehicle. And also, when there are more cars, we need people to be able to service the car. What about the training of our people to be able to handle the electric vehicle maintenance, the service? Even though maintenance is low, but you still need people to be able to manage the maintenance and service the vehicle.
The corporate thinker, Peter Drucker, did say that the automotive industry is the industry of industries. Do you feel that is still relevant when it comes to the EV industry?
Automotive been around for so long.
Yeah.
And
130 years actually, yeah.
And you talk about a combustion vehicle. It's not easy for a newcomer to enter into a combustion. But for electric, it's different, totally different. It doesn't need to come from a combustion automotive manufacturing.
In fact, yes. Porter's Five Forces have argued that it's actually quite easy to enter this particular sector.
Correct. So right now, we have the opportunity to compete globally. We have all the so-called expertise. Right now, electric vehicle, you're talking about battery, powertrain, and the body.
That's it.
So why we don't have companies that come on board?
Why indeed? Yeah. Do you think tax incentives are going to be important in this sense?
Yes, for a start, I would say that for a start, for instance, that
AC Ventures in Jakarta is pumping in hundreds of millions of dollars in the EV industry. It's a venture capital fund. We're going to see a lot more of that coming in, where new money is going to pump in.
There's a lot of money into automotive, especially electric vehicle.
Yeah.
If you look at 10 years back, even the Americans, the US, the Europeans, they are providing subsidies.
Yeah.
Even the Chinese are providing subsidies. It can up to 50% of the vehicle.
Yeah.
But the industry grow, when the industry have matured, the subsidies have reduced,
yeah,
but the vehicle is still increasing.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So the opportunity...
The subsidies are not there for permanently.
Correct, yes. So the industry is growing, and we have Malaysia, even though it's small, we have easily 500 to 600,000 units a year of new purchases.
Mm.
We have easily 10 million of vehicles, not only four wheels, we have 30 million two wheels. Mm. That's the opportunity.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Dennis, for coming over. That was Datuk Dennis Chua, the president of the EV Association of Malaysia. If you want to learn more, just head off to their website. You can also find this kind of resources at astroalwin.com. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Catch you in the next one.